I had an adventure of my own. I went to California. Came back almost midnight on Thursday night. And I thought, what's that sound in the basement? I have an unfinished basement. And I have a sump pump in the basement. It had rained, I guess, very badly while I was gone and the day before I came back. So I opened the basement door and here the hose had slipped off the sump pump and it was just spraying water up in the air and it came back down to spray it back up again. So I put on my boots and went down. There were 4.5 inches of water in my basement floor. And put the hose back on. Went to bed. The next morning I get up and look down to see how it was doing. The hose came off again. Quite an adventure that I wasn't expecting. Adventure. It's for the strong of heart, strong of those, strong in determination for those who have it. Strength of heart and strength of purpose, though, are much more necessary than for strength of body. David Brainerd, in an earlier century, was a missionary to the Indians in the United States. He was very weak in his body, but he was very strong in heart and in his purpose. And even while his body was growing weaker, because he was always having illnesses and things that were going wrong, his body continued to grow weaker, but his spiritual strength grew stronger in the meantime. And through love, he really conquered the distrust of the Indian tribes that he was working with and led many of them to Christ. Adventure does not mean being fearless. It means going on in spite of fears that come from time to time. It means a bold undertaking. One in which hazards are encountered. Hazards that you hadn't expected on the way. It means that the outcome of your adventure depends on things that are unforeseen. Sometimes you can't know exactly what's ahead. As an illustration, let me mention Christopher Columbus, who embarked on an adventure. An adventure which eventually changed much of the world. He was very strong in heart and determination in doing that. The frontiersmen of the early United States had strength of heart and purpose that gave them the courage to venture out into territory that was unknown to them at the time. I think of the first astronauts. They were hoping to make it back to Earth. They weren't sure positively that they would even reach the destination of the moon, let alone that they would be able to come back to Earth. And if you remember one of the crews that did make it to the moon and came back, entered the atmosphere and the thing exploded and they all died. Imagine the courage and strength of heart, particularly for those first astronauts that went up, not knowing whether they could ever come back. That's beyond my abilities to imagine or to do for myself. And then let me mention Paul, because he was a real adventurer. After he became a follower of Jesus Christ, he had determination and strength of heart to do what he probably would never have done before. He ventured out into a hostile world. And it was really hostile because he went to the Jewish people, but they hated him because he was preaching Jesus Christ. He went to the Gentile people, and they either mocked him or hated him because he was trying to... He came into a city and preached, and people became Christians, and they no longer bought the idols that were in the marketplace. So the merchants didn't like him at all. And yet, when he was going out, he knew God had called him, but he didn't know exactly where he was going. he didn't know what he might encounter once he got there. And yet he ventured out because he knew who had called him, and that gave him confidence to step out and do what otherwise would seem foolish to most people. So he went with confidence in what God would take care of him and lead him, since God had called him. Now, I think in our present day, there's not too much adventure. I know that for a lot of people, their big adventure is computer games. You can get into wars and everything else, and even if you lose, you never die. Not too many people are adventurous these days. And I found out that I have some problems with myself because there are risks in going on an adventure, and as I get older, they look more daunting than they used to. There are some things, though, that I love to adventure into. If I am in the valley, surrounded by mountains, I want to climb the mountain and see what you can see from the top. If I'm on a mountain, I'd like to get down to the valley and look, see how things are down there, really. You know, you're top of the mountain, it's all at a distance, so you want to go down and see what's really there. One year I went to Joshua Tree National Monument. It's out in California in the, I forget which desert it's in. It's a strange place. It looks like you're on the moon, practically. And they had a sign saying, Lost Canyon. And that intrigued me. And there was only one way to get in, and you had to squeeze between the rocks to get in there. So I went in, and there were other people in there, and I ventured around for an hour and a half, looking around. The sun was going down, so I thought I'd better find my way back. And I found out I can't find the place to get back out. And I was not quite panicked, but near to it. And I saw a couple some distance ahead of me, and I thought, hopefully they know the way. So I stayed far enough back that they wouldn't think I was stalking them. And they did find the way out, and I went out afterwards. I like those kinds of adventure. Living life as an adventure keeps things from becoming boring and sort of routine. You're in a rut. But here's some things about adventuresome living. There is always danger. And I'll go back to the mountain climbing kind of thing. Slippery places where you might fall. Rocks which might dislodge and cast you down the mountainside. Obstacles that must be overcome in order to reach the summit or to get back down to the bottom. One time I was at Bear Mountain above Nyack in New York, coming down from the top of Bear Mountain by myself, and wandering down over these rocks and steep things. And I got to a point where I thought, looked all around. There's no place to get back down from there. So I turned around and I thought, no, how did I get down here? You know, it's easier to come down than to go back up in some places. And for a while I thought, I might be stuck here. I don't know whether I can get back up over there. I finally did. But there's always danger in adventure. But despite the danger, adventuresome living brings excitement and some expectancy of what's ahead. What will I be able to see if I get to the top of the mountain? I wonder where I will go from here. I'm really looking forward to the view that I see when I go around the next curve. I don't know what it will be. If we're to live life to its full, we have to live it as an adventure rather than as a carefully detailed plan with every item laid out in its proper place. It never works out that way anyway. All of this is true in the natural realm, but the same thing is true in the spiritual realm. We need to learn how to venture out spiritually and discover the good things that God has for us as we follow Him. These good things are reserved for those who will cut the anchor that holds them to the shore. And those who will launch out on God's ocean of love, finding where God wants them to be. God is their guide, and with God's glory as their purpose in going out. We have to learn how to experience adventure in our spiritual lives as well as in our natural lives. So there are some principles or essentials along this line that we can learn from Abraham. And that's the reason for the scripture reading. These principles or these essentials will enable us to become more adventuresome in our spiritual lives. Those portions were read, and I'll mention them as we go along. Principle number one in becoming spiritually adventuresome: faith. You know, it says in one place here, in verse 6, I think it is, without faith it is impossible to please God anyway. But I want to call your attention to verse 8, where it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out, obeyed. It was by faith. He went out not knowing where he was going. Abraham was tuned in to God and to God's word to a point that God could get through to Abraham's heart. He was able then to hear God calling him and telling him what he wanted. When he heard God's call, he not only listened to it, he believed what God had said, and when he had heard and when he had believed, he acted on what he had heard. That's the definition of faith. What real faith means, putting belief into action. It's not just believing something. It's putting that belief into action. All other things that are referred to as faith are only wishful thinking or maybe passive believing, which doesn't get us anywhere. They're false roads for foolish people to follow, not for those who are wanting to be adventurous and follow what God has called us to. True faith is always belief put into action. It's like this, I forget who said it. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Let's go. That's faith in action. Do we really have faith in God? Or are we only passively sitting back and believing what He has said, but not actively being engaged with it and putting our faith into action? Principle number two in becoming spiritually adventuresome: obedience. Again from verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. Obedience alone, we learn from the New Testament in particular, that is, obedience without faith cannot justify anyone. The Lord tells us in the book of Romans, by the obedience to the law, the Old Testament law, no one shall be justified. No one shall be made right with God. So obedience just by itself does not get us anywhere. Belief alone, without obedience, cannot justify anyone. And that's because true faith always leads to obedience. Faith, then, is the number one principle. It was due to Abraham's faith, his trust in God's promises that he obeyed what God had called him to do. Obedience is the second principle, because obedience is the only way we'll ever receive what God has promised us. So verse 8 says, by faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. So if we want a fulfilling life, we have to go the way that Abraham went. And that's the way of faithful obedience to the Lord and to His Word. We have to launch out into the unknown because God has called us to go, to do. So what has God been calling you to do that maybe you've been afraid to obey? Afraid because taking adventure means the unknown. Whatever it is, you cannot find the peace of God. You will not find life exciting until you obey and step out into the unknown with your hand in the hand of Almighty God. We need to be an adventurer with God in His world and in His purposes. The third principle in becoming spiritually adventuresome is a spirit of expectancy. We can act on our faith, maybe, and obey to a certain point without any sense of expectancy. It's just, you know, routine. But a person needs a sense of expectancy of climbing the mountain to see what's there and what's on the other side. We need that. Verse 9 and 10. Abraham journeyed in an unfamiliar country. He looked for a city. He was expecting something because God had promised him something sometime, somewhere. He looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. So he traveled as a stranger in a land totally unfamiliar to him, but he didn't settle down in despair in the land. We might have. We might have gotten there and said, oh, it looks like desert to me. He didn't murmur against God, constantly asking why God called him to leave the comforts of his home. And archaeologists tell us that in the city of Ur, I'm not sure that every home would have it, but the city of Ur, a lot of the homes had indoor running water. They were not primitive people living in tents, all of them. So he left a very prosperous land, a comfortable place, away from his friends, away from familiar streets and parks and all that was entailed. And God called him into a land where the comforts and the finer things of life were non-existent. You live in tents. But he went there with expecting God to take care of him and to do something as time went by. He didn't settle down someplace and try to build an empire to make himself comfortable and adapt to the customs of the people around him so that they would respect him and he could become someone of importance. He didn't do that. He was a nomad, traveling in the land to which God had led him, confessing that he was only a stranger and a pilgrim in a strange land. But he was in search of a city made by God, not by human hands. And that's what made him victorious. He lived in expectancy of God's guidance and God's goodness wherever he was, and that God would lead him. Another illustration of this sense of expectancy. You remember Joseph in the Old Testament. Before his death, Joseph expected God to free the people of Israel from their bondage in Egypt sometime in the future. Actually, it was over 300 years before God did that. But before Joseph died, he said to his brethren, in expectancy, take my body, do not leave it here, take my body and carry it with you when you leave Egypt. Christian parents, in faith, expect that their children will be saved. They pray for them, for the children, and encourage them for years and years. And they may only see that the children move farther away from God than toward God. But they pray, and they confidently expect that someday God will bring their children to faith in Christ and in following Him. A third illustration of this expectancy. Dwight Moody went to Chicago when he was 19 years old. Maybe I have to explain this. A lot of the churches back then were not like the churches today. There is one in Chinatown that still has some of this. I don't think it's in all of the pews. But in some of the pews, there's a door to get into the pew. There's a door on both the aisle sides. And it's closed. It was a family pew. I think they paid for it. And if the family didn't come that day, nobody else could sit there because the door is closed. Maybe they had locks on them. I don't know. But anyway, when Moody was 19, he went to this church in Chicago. He rented one of the pews in the church. And then he went out into the boarding houses and the streets to round up young men to fill the pew. He soon started his own Sunday school. And it was for basically the neglected children on the north side of Chicago. In a few years, he had the largest Sunday school in the United States. Moody expected that he would win at least one person a day to Christ. You see, he lived in expectancy. I'll rent this empty pew. I'll go out and find people to fill it. God will help me. He expected that to happen. He expected that the Lord would lead him to people who needed Christ and were ready to hear about him, so that every day he lived expectantly, waiting to see what God was going to do through him as he lived in faith and obedience. Now, I find that I don't live every day in expectancy. Some days I just live. I had spoken at a retreat right before New Year's Day. I was fine. I got in the car to drive home the afternoon of New Year's Eve. While I was going home, I thought, oh, boy, I feel so achy. My head doesn't feel right. I got a bad cold. And from that, I got... What did I get? Forget the name of it now. Not pneumonia. The next thing to it. Bronchitis. I get that from time to time. But anyway, most of January was just... my own expectation, I would live to see tomorrow. Do we expect any good in our daily life? Or are we surprised if something good happens in a day? Do we expect God to bring someone to us each day that we can witness to of what Christ can do for that person? I don't think most of us do. I know that I don't some of the time, too much of the time. And that's exactly what makes our life drab and boring. We don't live in expectancy of seeing what God is going to do today in our lives and through us. But Christians are supposed to live in expectancy. What is God going to do not only for me, but through me today? We're also to live in constant expectancy of Christ's second coming. It's been a long time coming, and as Peter said, some people are saying, well, it's been a long time and he hasn't come. But Peter said, be expecting him because he's going to. At a time when none of us are really looking for that to be the day. And when he comes, with Abraham, we will be ushered into that city whose architect and builder is God. Verse 13 says, let me mention the fourth principle before I go to that. Assurance is the fourth principle in being spiritually adventuresome. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises that God had made to them, but they had seen them in the distance and were convinced of them. The assurance. They were assured that these things were going to happen. They just didn't know when. If we're traveling without any real assurance that there is a goal to be reached and that it is a goal worth reaching, we're not going to venture out beyond our little nests of complacency. We're not going to walk step by step with God into a future that we're not quite sure what it is, unless we have the assurance that God will bring us where He wants us to be, and that will be a good place to be in. We'll not climb the mountain and face the dangers until we are sure that there is something better awaiting us on the other side. Paul said, I know, I'm assured about the one I have believed in, Jesus Christ, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed against Him, to Him, against that day. In 1 John, John says, these things have I written to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may be assured that you have eternal life. The assurance. So be assured that as you venture out, God is there to provide for you everything that you need. But they'll only be received by those who are strong-hearted enough to go on an adventure with God. An adventure, a journey into the future. Sam Shoemaker was an Episcopal, I guess they call them priests in the Episcopal Church, some decades ago, and he wrote this: there is not much adventure in sitting in a pew and paying the missionaries to go where the battle is hot. But there is quite a good deal of adventure in any life that dares to take an uncompromising stand for Jesus Christ and begins to campaign on enemy territory and win the unbelievers away from away to the new life which is in Christ. That he saw as a great adventure to launch out on. Now, how about you and me? Why not go on an adventure of walking with God? But then we have to pay the price for the adventure. We need to let go of our life and a lot of our desires and surrender it into the hands of the living God. And He will take care of us. He said that. We have to choose between an indulgent, sort of wasteful and wasted life, or an adventure of walking with God and finding surprises around the next corner. We need to learn to experience adventure in our spiritual life. And the principles are only a few, so I'll remind you of them again. Faith. Believe what God has said and put that faith, that belief, into action. Obedience. Hear His voice, obey it quickly. Expect to see God at work in your life and through your life. Expect Christ's soon return and be watchful. Be occupied till He comes. Be assured. Be assured that you have life with God through Jesus Christ. Know that you are born again. There are a lot of people who don't know for sure whether they're born again into the kingdom of God. They're good people. They've gone to church all their life. But if you ask them, are you sure you're a child of God and going to heaven? They say, well, I hope so. Know that you have been born again. Be assured that God's promises are always true. Not just sometimes, but always true. Be assured that you can claim God's promises in the name of Jesus. So if you haven't, why not step out in faith today, out into a life of adventure with God, wherever that takes you. I have friends in California, a husband and wife that are dentists. They have 4 children. 2 are in medical school. 1 is in dental school. And 1 is a senior in high school. They go on mission trips to Africa. I mean, not just the parents, the kids. The kids have gone four times a year to Mexico for years and years and years with their parents to minister to migrant workers in the big tomato farms and things they have down there. One of them, as soon as she finishes, she wants to be a missionary. They're all very adventurous people. They go to Thailand, Bangladesh, to do dental and medical work. They live a very exciting life. I don't know how they make a living at dentistry because they're never home. But believe me, they enjoy life as an adventure with God. So do the same. Discover by obedience to His voice what He wants you to do, and then make your life beautiful by doing what He wants. I want to close just with reading verses 13 through 16 of Hebrews 11. Because there it says, they never saw the end that they were looking for. Abraham never found a city. Many of these other adventurers in the faith that we read of in chapter 11, they never saw the completion of what God had called them to. Verse 13, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. That is, they were expectant and assured that somewhere those things were. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them and for us too. So we live in expectancy, often not seeing the end of things before we pass from this earth and are ushered into the city not made with hands, made by the architect and builder of the universe. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and your promises. Thank you for Jesus Christ. And Lord Jesus, we thank you that you, through the Holy Spirit, have called us to become part of your family and to enjoy the adventure of life with you. A life that does not cease at the grave's edge. A life that becomes more exciting even after our body has been deposited in the grave. A life in a city made without hands, made by you. And we thank you that we can find that through walking with you. In Jesus' name.